The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, at 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello. And welcome to episode 165 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaurentie. I'm joined, like always, by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss DeeDee Jonet. Hey, DeeDee.
Hey, friend.
How are you?
I'm good. Got this good cheap-ass Merlot, but it's all right.
Okay. I would like to, first of all, thank you, Jay to the Max, Angelina, and Miss Val Capone for y'all's Ladies Night WrestleCast last week. Lots of fun, as always. Very entertaining.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Yes, I did.
And I'm glad we were able to like bring you into our world just for a hot second.
Yes. Always here for you in the production truck when needed. And we are joined tonight by Halisa. What's going
Hi,
on, Halisa?
Hi, guys. Life is going. It's busy around these parts this time of day or this time of year.
Just want to remind everybody that the WrestleCast is being brought to you by CSPN. You can find us on our website at www.cspn.us. You can also find us at our Tumblr site at wrestlecast.tumblr.com. We can also be found on Twitter at WrestleCast. You can also download us and listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and Google Play. We can also be heard through iPhone and Android through any podcasting app. So, ladies, we're going to get right into our news. It was confirmed on Monday Night Raw this week that Dean Ambrose, the unbreakable man who'd been on the roster for 7 years, never missed a match. He's going to be out for 9 months with a torn triceps.
I gotta say, I'm okay with that. I had gotten to this point with Dean when I was just like, you were lazy. Like, there were just things that he was doing. I was like, you're not trying. Like, I can tell you're not trying. And so when he got hurt, I was like, oh, okay, I'm okay with that. That's fine.
Miss DeeDee Jonet, I know that you shed a tear.
I'm not here to be happy about anybody's injuries or illnesses, but I'm not mad that I don't see him for 9 months.
That part, most definitely.
But then again, they last, so it'll probably be more like 6 or 7. Either way, I'm happy to not see him.
He'll make that speedy recovery.
He'll probably do Rogaine in the meantime. Maybe his hairline will be a little less suspicious on the way back. This could work for him.
I watched their table for 3, and he was like, yo, I'm going bald because of stress. This job stresses me out. And I was like, maybe you should take a break.
Maybe you should just cut it all off. Maybe you should look at them pictures of you from back in the day, because from what I saw, you've been going bald.
Mm-hmm.
Just in denial about your swoop.
Mm-hmm. But then we're
certainly right now.
Hopefully Renee loves him if he goes bald, though. Like, if he cuts
listen,
it all off.
He loves her lisp. She loves his non-hairline.
I hate that you pointed that out. It's so hard to listen to her.
I know, but if I have to hear it, so do you all. I don't care.
Mm-mm-mm. And then somebody thought, I think somebody pointed out she might have got a nose job. So now when I look at her, I always look at her nose too. It's a number of different things with Renee. I adore her. I think she does a great job, but there's just things.
Things. So this is going to, of course, cause a whole different, problem for creative, as they have to now go in a whole different direction than what they maybe had in store for Dean, Seth, and Roman Reigns. So we'll see how things transpire going forward. Also this week, Brian Kendrick suffered a fractured orbital bone and a fractured nose after taking the GTS from Hideo Itami on Monday Night Raw. So, as reported pre-show by Miss Elisa, it is reported that now the GTS has been banned, so Itami is going to have to come up with a new finishing move, per rumor and innuendo.
Yeah, which I find that to be really odd, because I don't think that it needs to be banned. I just feel like Brian Kendrick just took it wrong. Like, his face is in the wrong spot. I don't know. It's like when Seth broke John Cena's nose. Like, I don't think he did it intentionally. I just think that, like, John didn't place his head in the right spot. But, you know, WWE is all about safety. So I guess today you'll have to figure out something else.
Every once in a while, though, it is kind of good for something like this to happen, just so people in that, oh, it's so fake, can understand that, oh, yeah, until it doesn't go right. And then
right. I hate people like, well, it's all fake. And I'm just like, go away. Some injuries are real. Like, I don't care what you say.
Right. And to finish up the theme of WWE superstars being injured this week, last night, which would be Wednesday at recording of this episode, Paige was injured during a house show when she was dropkicked in the neck and the back of the head area by Sasha Banks. Paige actually left the ring on a stretcher as a precaution. She has a history of having neck issues, so I think they were just being more, like I said, cautious with her more than maybe the injury, the severity of the injury. It's reported she may have injured her shoulder, so we'll, you know, wait later on in the week. They'll have, I guess, an official update once they kind of figure out what's going on with Paige. So a speedy recovery to Paige, Brian Kendrick, and Dean Ambrose.
Most definitely.
So we'll get it right into our review. We'll start off with Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw was coming to you from the Windy City of Chicago. Shout out to Jay to the Max, who had a WWE holiday as she attended both Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. Fresh off of her Ladies Night WrestleCast appearance. So, yes, she was really WWE involved this week, and had a lot of good pictures and Instagram stories to back it up. So check that out if you guys did not already. So John Cena, DD's favorite, kicks off Monday Night Raw. He comes out. He calls the WWE and the fans his family. And all of a sudden, the Drifter is here. He has no time for John Cena's shtick. He says the WWE now stands for Walk with Elias.
Which I'm is inspired, and I'm so proud of him.
Cena says he'll walk with Elias, and Elias is here interrupting because everyone interrupts him. And he says CM Punk sure the hell won't interrupt him tonight. That, of course, brings out the CM Punk chance, but Elias plans to perform. Elias keeps cutting Cena's attempted advice off, so Cena gives him his stool, and Cena backs off. Elias starts to sing, and he gets booed out of the building as he buries Chicago. Cena interrupts him, and Elias shouldn't have said bad things about Chicago, and starts to kiss up to the crowd as only John Cena can. Elias says he speaks the truth. Cena then calls him a jerk, and those are fighting words. Elias says he never thought of things that way, so he'd love to do another song. Elias sings again, playing it nice. Cena joins in, and then Elias lays him out. He runs down Christmas, and he runs down John Cena, and then he works over John Cena and says he'll give him the gift of challenging John Cena to a match. So, Dee Dee, how far in the air did you jump when Elias punched John Cena squaw in the face?
I was so happy, and this was funny because it was Christmas, and I was actually watching at my mom's house, and my brother was there. And I essentially forced them for the first time in 32 years to watch wrestling with me. And so they're like, "What? Why are you so happy?" And I was like, "Because I hate John Cena." And they're like, "What?" And I was like, "You don't understand. Just go with it."
She said, "Just go with it."
just go with it, you know, because all they know is the famous ones. So they know John Cena. They don't know that We Walk with Elias. I was like, you'll understand.
You'll get there.
You'll get it. I was like, don't you see that beard? Don't you see that hairline flawless? What?
And all the muscles.
Guitar skills? What?
Hey, Lisa, what? Your thoughts on the opening promo segment?
At first, I was like, I liked it because I think that like it was a good spot for Elias to come out in. The Chicago crowd is the Chicago crowd, so I was kind of annoyed with them about halfway through. I was like, y'all shut up. And then when he punched John Cena, I was like, oh, well, this is getting good. Like, yes. I think because I was laying down because I just got home. So I rolled over and was like, oh, I can watch the rest of this now. Like, I am fully tuned in. Good job.
Didi, I was at my aunt's house. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I missed this opening segment because I was thinking, oh, well, you know, I could just use my tablet, use my Spectrum app, and everything would be all good. But it was like, oh, no, you're not underneath your home Wi-Fi. We can't do anything for you. So I was following along with the Rawcast for like the first 15 or 20 minutes. And then I like figured out an alternative. Like, oh, yeah, my cousin, he has TV in his room. But then we eventually did like you and took over the living room. And me and my cousin and, you know, were just like, hey, we're watching the wrestling. Y'all don't want to watch it. Y'all can keep on moving.
That's right. They were like, isn't there anything else on? No.
No.
There isn't.
No, but the same Christmas movies that you've already watched.
I really did tell my brother to leave my mother's house. I was like, you can go. If you don't want to watch wrestling, you can leave. He was like, what? I was like, get out or watch the wrestling.
No, I made sure that I was home in time to watch wrestling. I was like, okay, it's an hour trip to get back to my house. I'm leaving right now. Thank you, guys. I'm full. I'm sleepy. Going home. I looked at the clock. I was like, oh, it's 6 o'clock. Perfect. Time for wrestling at 7. Yay.
And the turnout for the Christmas night edition of Rawcast was really strong. Thank you to all the fans and everybody giving their commentary with color. It was a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun with everybody on Christmas night. So getting into the match, John Cena versus Elias. Elias hits the drift away, but Cena kicks out at 2. Elias follows up with elbows. He poses, but Cena gets a sunset flip for his own near fall at 2 count. Cena follows with shoulder blocks, and then he hits the proto bomb. Cena follows with the 5-knuckle shuffle, and then the AA, and Cena defeats Elias.
That was the part I was confused by. I was like, why did Elias start a match? You could just beat John Cena down and walked out the ring.
Exactly.
Like, we didn't need, you could just been Scrooge. It's cool. We would have accepted that.
Because it's in John's contract to be a winner.
Obviously.
He made himself feel better by, I'll let him beat me up for the first part. But I'm going to win the match, though.
Yeah, and then John went, like, extremely Super Cena and won at the end. And I was like, but you've been, like, he was beating you the entire match.
You're old, you're tired, you're out of shape. You've been playing Ferdinand, the gentle donkey, bull.
I think he's a bull.
Some four-legged creature, whatever. Like, you should not be winning matches. And you should have ring rust.
He does have ring rust, though. Like, in watching that whole beatdown, I was like, yo, John, you looking real old.
First of all, I'm not gonna forget that last match that he was in where he tried to walk away mid-match. Like, you're not coming back from that. Everybody else can forget that you disappeared or tried to. But I remember that you didn't want that ass whooping.
I'm with you.
I recall.
I'm with you.
I recall. So he shouldn't be winning nothing as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, he's Vince's
guy.
Win
a wedding date with Nikki. That's what his ass need to win. Win a wedding date.
Well, you know, he was all like upset with her doing Dance with the Stars because she couldn't plan the wedding. So when she got voted off, he was like, well, now you can finally get to work and plan this wedding. Because you know he's a perfectionist. Can't help himself.
Shit. So little miss girl who ain't been doing nothing with her life finally get a chance to do something. Because, you know, she got a broken neck. She can't really wrestle. She get an outside job and all of a sudden he big mad. She ain't say shit about him being Ferdinand.
I'm with you.
So disrespectful. Ooh, I don't like him.
Yeah, every time the Ferdinand commercial comes on, I'm just like, shut up, John. I don't want to listen to you talk.
Which to the back, and we see Kurt Angle where he's decorating a Christmas tree, and of course, it's time for family time as Jason Jordan arrives. Seth Rollins arrives on the scene too, and he says he wants revenge against Samoa Joe for injuring Dean Ambrose. Of course, Seth and Jordan began to argue, but Kurt Angle says that Jordan and Rollins need to take out the bar first. Angle says that they will face the bar tonight for the tag team titles. Jason Jordan, again, landing in all the cushy spots. Helps to have a daddy in high places.
I'm so over that kid.
Well, this is what I thought they should have been doing, like, from the beginning. Like, having Jason Jordan just rub up against Kurt as much as he could to get in spots he probably shouldn't be. I mean, it's a couple of months later than I thought they should be doing it, but at least they're doing it. It's working.
Well, I guess it's also because they wanted to, like, build that momentum of he's so good in the ring, he just can't ever win the match, you know? Right. And then Angle being like, you know, you have put in so much work. I know you've been losing, but you've been putting in work. So I'm just going to keep putting you in things that you're not necessarily ready for or right. deserve.
All right. Didi, do you have any problem with this nepotism?
No. Listen, nepotism works very well for people of a certain melanin pigment. So why not?
That is true.
So Roman Reigns arrives, and Kurt Angle books him versus Samoa Joe tonight. And Kurt Angle says the Intercontinental title will be on the line. So next we have Charlie Caruso, Felicity Caruso. She interviews Brian Kendrick. Brian Kendrick will face Hideo Itami tonight, and he wants to find out if Itami belongs in the Cruiserweight division. So we have Hideo Itami versus the Brian Kendrick. Itami fires up with strikes, and then the hesitation dropkick connects in the corner. Itami hits the GTS to get the victory. And as we stated at the top of the show, Brian Kendrick really got fucked up, as you know, he's got broken bones in his face and his nose. And so in Chicago, they got to see the GTS. And of course, you know, that can only inspire more CM Punk chants.
Let it go, Chicago. Just let it go.
Hideo Itami in the, on, you know, 205 Live on Raw. What do you think?
I think Hideo will be good on 205 Live. It sucks that he never got, like, the shine that he probably desired when he was in NXT. He just always found himself ended up being injured. And everyone he came in with, they all, you know, got to be champions and then eventually got called up and they kind of left him in the dust and he was there to just figure it out. So I'm happy to see him on 205 Live. I thought Brian Kendrick got fired. So when I heard him talking, I was like, oh, he still works here. Okay. Because I hadn't seen him since, like, him and Jake decided to beat up Cedric, I think. I think that was the last time I saw him. So I was like, oh, okay, he still works here. Cool. So we'll see. I hope that Hideo does something and doesn't just, like, job out to Enzo while he's in 205.
If they really want to do something in the meantime, and like you're saying, they just don't want to make a day or a jobber to Enzo on 205, they should really consider putting him and Finn together and let them be the tag team champions.
Well, see, I think that's a great idea, actually. Because when he came out to, like, defend Finn last week, I was like, oh, this is something I can get behind. And I get, it would give Finn something to do since, obviously, Vince isn't giving him a title shot. So, like, make him tag champs. I'm down for that.
Yeah, just some fantasy booking. You know, sometimes we do that here on the WrestleCast. So next, we have Sasha, Bailey, and Mickey. And they all meet. They're all walking, you know, down the aisle as they're about to have their match. And they meet up with Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, who sing Miz themed Christmas songs. It was so good. And the ladies kind of, I guess they were kind of in their game face mode. So they really didn't have time for it. But yeah, it was great. Christmas carols by the Mr. Raj.
Yeah, business carols. I love it. I look at them kind of like the way I look at Breezango. Like, they're our comic relief, only hopefully this will turn into something more. Because, like, I mean, that's kind of how the Fashion Files got started. They just kind of did little things. And then eventually was like, Vince was like, you're going to be on television every week. Because the fans love you. So I'm hoping the same thing will happen to them.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Fashion Police and Fashion Files a little bit later on in the show. Dee, anything you want to say about Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, their Christmas sweaters? And
I was doing dishes at that point. So.
Oh, okay. holiday stores.
Show was stressful, man.
So we have Absolution, of course, Paige, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville. versus Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Mickey James. So this is a part of Raw where I actually came in and got my edition of broadcast officially started. It breaks down on the floor with the big brawl. Bayley and Paige are back in the ring when Paige gets Bayley off and hits the rampage, and Absolution gets the win. They do nothing for me.
I'm acting like I care because I'm trying to be in the Christmas spirit.
They have nothing. Paige is great, but Mandy Rose would probably be great. Yeah. They were like all on their own, and then for like building up, and then all came together in like 3 months. I think this would be a lot better than just we're here and we're trying to.
It kind of depends on you. It depends on prior knowledge of them, and since I don't watch NXT regularly, I don't know them girls. So they are like a blank slate, and it's just like, okay, like you could have did this with any two jobbers. I don't know them girls.
Yeah, when every time Mandy Rose comes out, and I'm just like, who is she? And they're like, she won Tough Enough, and I was like, I didn't watch Tough Enough, so like
all I don't know, who she is. She says some shady shit about an afro on a plane.
That is, I heard about that too.
All I know about her, and then people call her the blonde Eva Marie. Those are the only Eva. Even Marie? Those are the only two things I know about her. Like, I don't know anything about who she's supposed to be as a wrestler.
And then
you just put her with Paige like that means anything. They don't even have like a group aesthetic. They're not like the Brood. They're not like DX. They're just together. Like, it's so stupid.
They're not even what Team Bad was when they kind of threw Sasha and Naomi and Tamina together, and then they kind of figured something out to create that.
Or when, you know, it was Paige, Charlotte, and Becky, like, it made sense. They kind of flowed together. They don't work. I like Sonya Deville just because, like, I watched her from NXT up, and so she has grown, especially like in the ring. Because I remember how stiff she used to be, and just she didn't wrestle very well. But even in that, she wasn't on NXT enough for you to know who she was. I watched a match with her on NXT recently. And the crowd still didn't, like, care about her, which lets me know that you're not out there in the ring enough if the actual home crowd for NXT, like the Full Sail crowd, doesn't even care that you're coming out to the ring.
Right, right. So we'll see if they can get this off the ground or if they'll abandon it. But right now, for me, it's not doing much. So they'll keep trying to, as they say, make fetch happen. So Renee interviews Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe has no sympathy for what he did last week. His actions and facts have earned him an IC title shot tonight, and he's systematically taken out the Shield. And tonight, he finishes things when he finishes and owns Roman Reigns. Joe is so disrespectful. He's looking at Renee talking about, looks like Dean Ambrose will have more time this holiday season to spend time with the ones he loves, and looking like right at Renee. So shady.
I love him. He is the best thing ever created, honestly. Like, I think that's why I watch Raw now, is just to see Samoa Joe and, like, whatever he's going to say. Because he gets so disrespectful. I was like, oh, like, he called Dean a roach. And I was just like, those are fighting words. Like, you got to come out here and punch this man in the mouth, for sure. I love him.
And it makes everything seem so believable and non-scripted. Like, right. He has a great way of making the whatever the script is come off in Samoa Joe, you know, language and tone. So, yeah, he's definitely a highlight. Like I've said a couple of episodes ago, him just, you know, sneaking up behind people when they talk disrespectful on his name is one of the most consistent and best things they have going on Raw these past few months.
Most definitely. He's next to like Alexa Bliss. He's most definitely the best heel on the show.
Thank you. I'm almost taken aback by those comments. Thank you for acknowledging the greatness that is one Alexa Bliss.
You know, but I'm with you down on some things.
But moving on, we have Kane versus Heath Slater.
Oh, goodness.
Heath Slater out here trying to, you know, get some last minute money in his pocket on Christmas for them kids. Rhino and Slater. Oh, go ahead.
Instead of Rhino doing though, I'm going to toughen him up. And I was like, you're going to do what? Like,
speaking of which, that causes Rhino and Slater to argue on the floor, so Kane looks to attack. But Slater fires up and starts connecting, but it's almost immediately cut off. We get a choke slam and then a pin as Kane defeats Heath Slater. After the match, Kane and Rhino begin to brawl. Rhino hits the corner spear, but the gore is then cut off. Kane chokeslams Rhino, and Kane stands tall. Kane is like, I know they like cut back on like the pyro, and I know like, you know, the old adage, if you can't do for one, if you got to do for one, then you got to do for all. But like him, Kane, Brock Lesnar, they need their pyro back to make their entrance complete.
Yes, I agree. I just want pyro back in general. I feel like there are other things we can cut outside of pyro. Especially like since we're going into 2018 and they're getting rid of some of them pay-per-views. If you're going to get rid of those pay-per-views, we need pyro.
Yeah. I mean, everybody don't deserve pyro, but you know, the people who've earned in has been like a major part of their entrance. Yeah, they definitely deserve to have their pyro come back, hopefully in the near future. So we have the aforementioned Finn Balor versus Curt Hawkins. Curt Hawkins is here to face the facts. 2017 wasn't a good year for him, as he's been winless. But he feels a Christmas miracle is coming, and it's just an open challenge. He says that he's 0-146 right now, but the streak is ending tonight. So, of course, Finn Balor steps up. Finn Balor hits a standing double stomp, and then he hits the sling blade, followed by the shotgun dropkick, and the ultimate Kevin Sullivan foot stomp to get the win. So, Curt Hawkins, again, you know, jobber on Mondays, all-star at the bank.
Yeah, he a legend. As Bawani, we call him, he's a legend at the bank, for sure.
So, we get a spooky Bray Wyatt promo, noting that Sister Abigail hated Christmas, and he's here. Bray Wyatt makes his way to the ring, but Matt Hardy appears and attacks him, running Bray Wyatt off to chance up. Delete, delete, delete. Matt then addresses Bray Wyatt, and then he starts laughing like a madman. Elisa, your thoughts?
So I like this. I think the promos are really good. I've been really entertained by the promos of them going back and forth and stuff. I don't feel like the payoff, like the actual match, is going to be worth it because Matt got a bum hip, bum knee, bum a little bit of everything. So I just don't embrace. He's good in the ring, but he could be better. So it's just like, I don't feel like the match itself is going to pay off, but the games, the psychological games are going to be fun. It'd be nice if maybe like Bray joined Matt or Matt joined Bray or something. Maybe we can make Sister Abigail an actual person instead of this figment of our imagination. But it's been, I would say it's been fun to watch.
What if Sister Abigail is Rebby Hardy?
That would be awesome.
Matt Hardy's wife.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. That would be something twisted that Matt Hardy would think about.
Mm-hmm. And right. I actually like her, or at least her Twitter profile. I like her.
She don't hold back.
Whenever her tweets come across my timeline, I'm like, oh, it's gotta, let me start from the beginning.
Like, yeah. If she got it in her mind and she feel like she need to say it, she will say it. So
most definitely.
She is one of the real ones, as they say. So we get Dee Dee's faves, The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro. They're arguing about having to defend their tag team titles. But Sheamus says he has a gift for Cesaro, and it's a Dean Ambrose action figure, including a missing arm. Cesaro then gives Sheamus a gift, and it's a Seth Rollins action figure. They hope to break it, just like they will break the real thing. Then Sheamus gives him another gift. And it's a Jason Jordan action figure. But Sheamus doesn't want it. And Cesaro says that Rollins and Angle don't want him either. And they have a big laugh. I think I was most shocked that Jason Jordan got an action figure.
According to my best friend in the WWE rumors, apparently Jason Jordan's really over with like the women's population. And I'm like, who? Because he's not over with me. Like every time he comes out, I'm just like, oh, go away. So I guess women and children love him, kind of like the John Cena effect.
I guess so. I guess he must be selling. They must have some metric, a merch or something that they're using to back up these claims of the ladies love cool Jason Jordan. All right. So we have Enzo, Daivari, and Gulak. Drew Gulak versus Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander, and Akira Tozawa in a Miracle on 34th Street fight. Gulak accidentally hits Enzo. Cedric Alexander attacks him with kendo sticks. The kendo stick was wrapped up in red and white tape, so it looked like a candy cane. That was pretty cool. Daivari gets in the ring, and Alexander gives him the lumbar check. And Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander, and Akira Tozawa win the Miracle on 34th Street Fight. Too bad they have to have the 205 guys do the wacky match. But I guess the of good course. Brothers are like, hey, you know, we had to do the Halloween match. So
that's know. True. That's very true. I don't know what they're going to do with the Good Brothers. I keep hearing, like, maybe they're going back to New Japan. And then they're like, no, they're going to keep their contracts. And I'm just like, okay, fantasy booking. Can we just put the Balor Club together at Royal Rumble and just let them do their thing?
There you go. Something else. I mean, you know, the theme here is Finn Balor ain't where he should be. So at least do him, put him in something that the fans would enjoy while y'all figure out what y'all want to do with him.
Exactly.
Enzo is sad backstage, and he meets with Nia Jax. They're standing under the mistletoe, and they have a little back and forth, like they're going to tease, like they're going to kiss. All of a sudden, when it seems like the moment is just right, Alexa Bliss comes darting in and interrupts them and tells Nia that they need to go, that they got to discuss strategy for the Women's Royal Rumble match. And so Nia sheepishly just leaves Enzo standing underneath the mistletoe. I have two questions. First lady is a fashion cast. How do y'all feel about the color in Nia's braids?
I think it's adorable.
I do too.
What are they? Are they rubber bands? Is it the way her hair? Is it like weave? What is it?
Yes, yeah, it's weave. It's just colored weave.
Okay, thank you.
I want some for myself, but you know, I work in a professional setting.
I do too, so yeah.
And second, how good was that segment where they just happened to be under the mistletoe and the kind of on-screen chemistry that Enzo and Nia seem to have?
I like it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder where it's going to go. But I don't want to insult Young Littlefoot's relationship.
Okay. Fair. She is such a friend of the show that, yes, we do take her thoughts and feelings into consideration when we do discuss this highly sensitive issue. Mm-hmm. Between Enzo and Nia Jax. So Renee interviews Roman Reigns. Reigns doesn't care about Joe and won't leave without the IC title. Tonight is about Dean Ambrose and sending a message to Samoa Joe. So we have Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe for the Intercontinental Championship. Joe sends Roman to the floor and hits the elbow suicida. Roman is selling his left arm and Joe rolls him back in and starts working on the arm. Roman fights back with headbutts and right hands. Roman lays in the boots and shoves the ref away and gets disqualified because, of course, he was starting to kick too much ass. So after the match, Roman isn't done. He starts attacking Joe and he starts running him into the ring post. Roman then runs him into the steps and then he picks up the steps and hits Joe with them. Roman then gets a chair and starts doing a little bit more damage to Samoa Joe with the chair. And Joe finally manages to escape before he suffers any more damage. Everybody loves when they let Roman Reigns go crazy. They don't do it often, but this was one of those times. And yeah, the crowd was behind it.
I like the fact that he kept yelling, like, this is what happens when you mess with my family. Like, it makes the Shield reunion more believable because I think we all are just looking at their reunion like, so this is just to get Roman over, right? Or maybe Dean's going to turn on Seth or something's going to happen, right? But this made it feel like, okay, he cares. this is real. So it was, I enjoyed it. I don't ever like to see Samoa Joe get whooped, but I mean, he sells really well. So he was out there looking like this is it. This is the end for him. So I think it was a good look.
All right. Ms. DiDiJone, any thoughts about Roman beating down Samoa Joe?
I mean, I hate to see Samoans fight, but I guess since they're not related, it's okay.
Seth Rollins watches on backstage and he's laughing. He meets with Jason Jordan and says that they are teaming because he owes Kurt and he wants revenge for Dean. Rollins says that just hanging with top competition is not enough for Jason Jordan any longer. Jason Jordan says that he makes a pretty good replacement for Dean Ambrose, but Rollins says he'll never be Dean Ambrose. Jason Jordan says he promises to be better. A little spicy there from Jason Jordan.
I was okay with that part, actually. I really was.
So we have Sheamus and Cesaro, The Bar, versus Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan for the Raw Tag Team Championships. Cesaro tags in, and The Bar attempts the double team white noise, but they are stopped by Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins then sends Sheamus to the steps, and then Cesaro takes Rollins out. When Cesaro rolls back in the ring, he's met by Jason Jordan, who hits the pop-up net breaker, and we have new Raw Tag Team Champions as Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan defeat Sheamus and Cesaro. So, you know, he did it, Dad. He can say, Dad, he did it. He's the title belts to go for. You know, he finally, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Kurt, you know, broke it down to him and said, you know, he's having great matches, but he hadn't won shit. So now he can actually be like, you know, this Christmas, like, look what I won, Dad. I'm proud of Jason Jordan. I really am.
I guess. I was caught off guard by that whole idea. I was like, why would they win the belts? But I guess it gives them something to do since creative is now basically having to scratch all of their original plans. So I guess it's okay. I'm just waiting on Jordan to turn on Seth at this point. I hope that's coming.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What about Jason Jordan actually proving his worth, being better than Dean Ambrose and earning the Shield? And then, you know, we have some issue about Dean Ambrose trying to get his spot back.
Everybody's a part of the Shield now. Triple H is a part of the Shield now, and I was just like, okay, that makes no sense. So,
as Jake to the Max pointed out last week during the Ladies Night Wrestling,
you get a Shield vest, you get a Shield vest, you get a Shield vest. We all get Shield vests around these parts.
So, that was the Christmas edition of Monday Night Raw. I really liked this episode. I enjoyed it, of course. Elias starting off, decking John Cena and then having a pretty good match, even though he came up short, was a good way to start. And then it closed with, you know, like Halisa said, a shocking ending. And, you know, Jason Jordan is the talk of the wrestling world. He's, I guess, the newest member, quasi-member of the Shield, and he's a tag team champion. And we got to see history, y'all. Jason Jordan, the first man ever to win the NXT, SmackDown, and Raw Tag Team Championships.
Well, go him. Congratulations.
So, again, like I said, thanks to everybody who came out, used the hashtag RawCast on Christmas night, spent a few hours, because Raw is 3 hours, with us, the fans and hosts of the WrestleCast. Like I said before, it was a lot of fun, and you guys are so funny with your tweets and your commentary. So, again, we appreciate it. So, at this point, I'll turn it over to our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Ms. Didi Jonet.
I hear the po-po in the
She has theme music this week as I introduce her.
I live on the same block as the fire department, so anytime anything happens, that's what I get to hear.
So coming in with the hot takes on the SmackDown Matters, here's Miss Didi Jonet.
Okay, this week's SmackDown was also from Chicago, specifically the Allstate Arena. Daniel Bryan comes out wearing a red and green plaid shirt because it's still Christmas season, even the day after Christmas. There's a match announced for AJ versus Kevin Owens. Daniel Bryan is out to address the shocking thing that happened last week, aka Ziggles leaving his belt in the ring and essentially saying, screw you guys, I'm going home. He says he's been calling and texting Ziggles. Ziggles has not responded. Therefore, the assumption is that he is relinquishing his U.S. title. He wishes Ziggles well, calls him one of the all-time great performers, but they have to move on. He says he and Shane have agreed to have a tournament to decide the new champion, which will start tonight. The first round match is Baron Corbin versus Bobby Roode. We love Roode because Roode is glorious. But then Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin come down to interrupt. He's like, yeah, that's great about the U.S. title, but what about these tag titles, though? Daniel Bryan references they're losing the tag title match a few weeks ago. They said that they deserve a shot without any other teams involved. The crowd this whole time is all about Rusev and Rusev Day, by the way. Chad says they should be champions. The crowd is like, no, the fuck you shouldn't. So then Rusev and Aiden English come down, crowd behind him. English sings a song to explain why they deserve a shot. He says they beat the Usos and didn't actually lose at Clash of Champions. Aiden says, we know what day comes after Christmas. And Gable said it's Boxing Day. Rusev calls him a fool and says it's Rusev Day. Then the New Day comes out. Byron Saxton asks what comes after Rusev Day. Corey says, Rusev Day again. Kofi is flinging pancakes into the crowd. Big E says, fuck. Big E says Gable and old Jason Jordan got pinned at Clash of Champions and Rusev and English got pinned last week. Xavier says they should be tag champs and had Brian and had Daniel Bryan swivel his hips with them and, you know, no rhythms. Rusev told them to shut up and he said, Rusev wondered if Brian was going to ask his mommy, Shane, for a decision. So Brian announces a triple threat match with the winners facing the Usos at a later date. Immediately, we go into the triple threat tag team match. Again, Chad and Shelton versus Big E and Xavier for the New Day and Rusev and Aiden English. Good shit happens. Xavier hits a flip dive onto the other team. Big E powerbombs Xavier onto Aiden English, and then Gable gives a German suplex to Big E and Aiden English at the same goddamn time, which prompted a few people on the hashtag SmackDown Matters to decide that Chad Gable is going to pull something eventually.
Probably later. Or he's going to develop a significant case of hemorrhoids. Either
I'm
or.
Saying.
This, you can't be doing that. Them some big boys. This ain't no 205 Live shit we talking. Them some grown men Chad is pulling around.
Like, I mean, that. Cesaro doesn't even do that. And he can deadlift, like, what is it? Twice his weight or something like that?
Because Cesaro loves himself. because it's the Chicago, a CM Punk chant breaks out. But then others are like, let's move on. Let's not be that girl. Because that's really what Chicago is in reference to, like, CM Punk. Like, if you've ever seen, like, any episode of, like, The Real World, there's always, like, the inappropriate relationship. And there's, like, one girl who can't get over it. That's the Chicago fans. And then there's a boy who's like, girl, I just want to fuck all these hoes. That's CM Punk. Like, it's to me. Okay, so then Rusev makes a hot tag. Runs wild on Chad and Xavier. He kicks them in the head. There's some running body blocks in the corner. He gives Big E a spinning heel kick. Gives Shelton Benjamin a super kick. Then Rusev charges up like he's going to do a suicide dive, but Chad Gable cuts him off and hits a German suplex because, again, doesn't love himself. Xavier follows with a diving drop kick onto Aiden for a two count. Later, Rusev powerbombs Chad and Shelton off the ropes. Then Aiden follows with a frog splash for a near fall like Guerrero because father-in-law. Rusev stacked Wiz and Gable on top of each other and gave them both an accolade, which was epic.
It was, it was.
Broke it up. I'm telling you, this was a good match. Big E then ran fast as fuck and hit a dive through the ropes. And then he, like, popped up because, you know, normally he, like, almost kills himself, but he was okay this time. So then the crowd popped for that. Then Benjamin hit a running kick in the corner on Big E. Then he and Chad hit their powerbomb flying clothesline dearly for the win. So next week will be Chad and Shelton versus the Usos. It was lit. It was lit. Yes?
It was lit. Most definitely.
Yes, I will concur. This was a really good match. Usos, they're good on commentary.
That's true.
And, man, I thought it was, you know, a good idea a couple of weeks ago to put Aiden English and Rusev together. It was like, oh, I hope they keep doing it. I had no idea that it was going to be like this big.
This good, yeah.
And Chicago was all about some Rusev Day.
Yeah, which I feel like kind of sucks for Chad Gable and Shelton because, like, the whole point in putting Shelton with Chad was to, you know, boost them and make them the most important tag team. And they don't get that shine. Like, they just got completely skipped over because Rusev Day took over. I love Rusev Day. Rusev Day is awesome. Every I need one of those. I need one of those shirts, honestly. Like, every time I see Rusev come out and I'm like, yeah, I need one of those. And then I'm happy for Aiden because he had a tag partner.
Yep.
And we see where that went. And then he was squashing for single matches for a while. And then now he got Rusev and he's like on top of the world again. So I'm happy for Aiden.
With his velvet voice on the microphone.
Him and Elias need to go on tour, if we're being honest. Like,
listen, don't threaten me with a good
time. That's amazing. And doing my review of the year, trying to come up to, you know, do all the things for the El Dandies. Yeah, the Vaudevillains were actually a thing earlier this year, too.
They were. And then what Simon got into it with, not Kalisto, Sin Cara, remember?
Yeah, he sure did.
Sin Cara laid them beats. And Simon was gone.
Yeah, thankfully.
Is that what happened?
Thankfully, Aiden English landed on his feet.
Most definitely.
I remember that the guy left, but I didn't know that Sankara beat his ass and made him leave.
Well, you know, he had almost hurt Enzo at one point. And in a match, which was so weird to me, because I'm like, y'all wrestled each other enough at NXT that you shouldn't be hurting Enzo. Like, what are you doing?
I think that was more of Enzo more than Simon Gotch, but yeah, it did happen while they were in the ring together. So
yeah, and so, and that's right, because some people were like, no, it was Enzo's fault. Other people were like, it's Simon's fault. I'm just like, y'all know each other too well for it to be anybody's fault. Like, y'all been wrestling each other forever. I don't understand. And then, yeah, a couple months later, Sin Cara laid them beats. And it was over. Aussie wrote.
I love every story about Sin Cara putting the paws on people. Like, it just fills me with levels of joy that y'all just truly don't understand. Like, it could be its own show. Like, how Sin Cara whooped that ass. And then they could do the thing where they do the cartoon reenactment. Oh, my God.
I think if Sin Cara like spoke better English, he could be a monster heel like Samoa Joe.
Listen, but like, what if he just never spoke English? What if he did all that shit in Spanish?
And I'm down for that too.
And had a translator. Oh my God. Hire me, WWE. I have the ideas. Okay, anyway, I digress. Backstage, Shane catches up with Daniel, basically says, I didn't appreciate the things that you said when you said I was acting like my father. Daniel's like, okay, I mean, I said what I said. I've just noticed that you've been throwing your weight around much like your dad would. And so Shane is like, Daniel's been doing the same thing with the U.S. tournament. Like, his idea is, why wouldn't you just give Baron and Bobby a rematch and let them, one of them, be the winners instead of having to go through a whole tournament? Daniel's idea is that everyone deserves a shot. Shane says he also doesn't like tonight's main event with AJ and Kevin because obviously Sammy's going to get involved. Brian's like, listen, Kevin Owens and AJ Styles was one of the best rivalries of 2017, and he wants to end the year on a high note and see it one more time. So Shane's like, okay, you know, doubtful, but I'll go with it. The other thing we kind of didn't notice, because it doesn't really matter, but kind of does, the first hour of Raw and SmackDown was commercial-free. So that meant we had time.
And all the time.
That's part of the reason why that tag match was bomb as fuck, because we had to see the whole thing through. This was lit. So anyway, I digress. There's another Fashion Files clip. Ascension have a gift for Breezango, a rematch with the Bludgeon Brother. And it's like, aw. And Fandango is sad that they didn't get sexy astronaut costumes.
I'm sad too.
Same. Something tells me they were two-piece. Anyway, the Bludgeon Brothers defeated Breezango, obvi. What happened was Harper and Rowan had the match won with a sit-out powerbomb on Tyler. But Rowan picked him up at the two count so they could continue to whoop that ass. The Ascension run down to save Breezango and attack Harper and Rowan real quick. It was like,
it was so fast.
Push him back and then roll out the ring kind of attack. But when they did that, that gave them enough time to carry away Breezango and save them. This gives the Bludgeon Brothers the win via DQ. Backstage, Connor and Victor tell Daisy that their best friends, Breeze and Fandango, weren't in the right state of mind. So that he said that their best friends were challenging the Bludgeon Brothers to a rematch. And it's like, are you not asking your best friends? They don't wanna. But anyway. Next is Ruby Wyatt versus Naomi. Ruby says in its promo that Rumble is basically another word for riot. I don't know that that's true. I don't think they're synonyms. And that gives her an advantage. She says that she would win the Royal Rumble. She meant to say the Royal Riot. And Naomi is going to be the first person she eliminates. So at the ring, Naomi knocks Logan and Morgan, these names, off the apron. But the distraction allows Ruby to kick her leg out from under her. She follows with a riot kick for a very quick win. Because that's the numbers game that they do. The Riot Squad put the boots to Naomi afterwards. Charlotte comes out to make the save. She takes out Ruby with a spear, but the numbers game catches up to her, and they take her out too. Natty Bo's music hits, and she marches out with Carmella, Tamina, and Lana. There's a face-off in the ring, but the Riot Squad back off. And then Tamina, being the real one that she is like, fuck this, I'm gonna whoop y'all's asses anyhow. So she rolls out of the ring, and all the girls follow, and there's a quick little skirmish, and then the Riot Squad runs away.
I know that JT the Max doesn't really curse that much, But I know when Ruby Riott beat Naomi and she was wearing her Fields of Glow shirt to SmackDown, that she turned to somebody and said, "This is some bullshit."
It really was. Like, I watched that and was like, wait, that's how Naomi's going to lose? Like that?
My thing is,
are you serious?
Numbers game getting to her, but that was so quick.
That wasn't even a numbers game. It was just...
It was too quick. It was
I figured it out. The flyer, she looks in the entrance, it seems... Mm. That's when she loses. Mm. She was looking extra fly with the
light. But that entrance was everything. That light on that fur.
Yeah, the fur is everything.
Oh. I have so much respect for her when I found out that she really did spend all her money on her outfits. And it's like, bitches, you superstars need to put your money on yourself like Naomi is doing.
Yeah.
And she obviously invest in your look. Uses their hairstylists in emergencies, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when she came to Dallas,
got her own hair. She don't trust them girls, and it's smart.
And she get like literally, if she can't fly her actual stylist out to wherever she is, she'll get on like Instagram or Twitter and be like, "Hey, anybody got a stylist? Just put them underneath the, just add them, just put them on here. DM me their number, whatever. See, let me see their work, basically, and I'll go."
Yeah,
I love her.
She's the black. I love her. She is like the perfect black wrestler. Like, she,
I need her to hook Ember Moon up with the good weave. That's all I need her to do.
She's getting to the point where I don't know if she can switch back to being a heel anymore because she's such a good baby face.
I think that's okay though. Like,
I don't think she was ever that great as a heel anyway.
Mm-mm, she's not really a mean girl at all. Her, yeah, it's like the Usos. Like, the Usos were so much better being heels than they were being faces. So it's just like, I think it's okay for you to kind of play that one role for a long period of time, especially now where we're in an era where, like, it doesn't really matter who's a heel or a face. It's more of like, who do the fans pick?
Yeah, that too. It's like, kayfabe ain't really a thing no more. So, like,
nope.
You can't have Trinity being sweet, snotty Trinity and then be like, "I'm Naomi and I'm a heel." Like, it doesn't work that way.
Wait, did y'all see the video of Braun Strowman as an elf?
No, that's adorable.
On WWE, he had a whole elf suit on and he got into it with Drew Gulak. Oh, it's hilarious. It's on WWE.com. I think it's on my YouTube page. I found it. It was last Monday. So not the Monday this past, but the Monday before last. He dressed up like Elf on a Shelf and walked around town and then somehow ended up in this meeting with Drew Gulak and they were having this whole argument. It's perfect, but that's kind of like the same thing. Like, Braun's this supposed to be this monster among men, and then on WWE.com, I got to watch him be this goofy kid in an elf suit, and I loved it. Like, oh, I loved it. It was great.
Oh, I'm definitely going to watch that as soon as we're over.
Drew Gulak near any microphone is magic.
He's gotten great. So good. But I guess back to SmackDown. I like Ruby Riott. I actually like Ruby Riott more than whatever they're doing with Paige and them.
See, their aesthetic works better for some reason. Those three girls make sense to me more than the other three girls. And I see why WWE thought that they were doing the same thing on both teams, but it's not the same.
Mm-mm. I think it would have worked better if like they brought Paige back and then brought back like two old WWE wrestler, like female wrestlers that we knew, and instead of two no-name talents.
They had just given us a chance to know the girls before it was like, oh, they have a connection. Instead of just like, we got these random girls. You should know them. They're from NXT, right?
But what they could have did was, even if they wanted to bring up one of the newer girls, they could have at least bridged the gap with Alicia Fox, because everybody knows through Total Divas how tight Paige and Alicia Fox really are.
Right.
So
right.
If it was like Paige, Alicia Fox, and then one of the new girls, then maybe it would have a little bit more steam to it just because of that real life relationship. It'd be easier to, you know, connect the dots.
Yeah. I wasn't the biggest fan of Ruby Riott when she first got to NXT. But she had to really like get her bearings about her, because they put her in matches with the Iconic Duo, and then I think she was in a title match a couple times, and then I went to NXT TakeOver Houston and she had a match there, and I was like, yo, she's getting a lot better in the ring, and now that she's a heel, she's a lot better on the mic too. So I'm happy for her. I hope that this takes her places, but I'm not really here for Liv. And Sarah, I liked her a little bit in the Mae Young Classic, but I still remember it watching the Mae Young Classic and just being like, it is some little country bumpkin. That's all I got from you.
Yeah, I don't recall her from the Mae Young Classic. Who I really want to see is my good plus-size blonde girl from the Mae Young Classic. She was my fave.
Oh, Piper Nevin? Yeah, she's never coming to WWE. because she does some great work over in, like, London and with Eve. And, like, girls, I don't
want to live in London. They don't got no sunshine.
They have sunshine. I promise they do. So basically, like in London, it rains until like 2 o'clock most days during the summer, and then about 3, sun comes out and it's beautiful. So,
nobody want to live in London.
But yeah, Piper's. No, I don't think she's ever gonna come to WWE. Aww, I think she really likes the indies.
Well, maybe she'll just come visit. Anyway, let's get through this. Renee interviews AJ. Blah 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 blah. AJ says that he's the favorite whenever he steps into the ring and his opponents are the underdogs. He said nobody would be handed opportunities as long as he was on SmackDown. He says he's fine with Sammy being at ringside tonight. Owens can't beat him. And this was the house that whom built?
AJ Styles.
DeJounet.
Thank you.
Some people know, but that's okay.
My AJ bad. Can do
whatever he wants.
AJ Styles is the face that rents the place that DeJounet built.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yes.
So yeah, blah, 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 blah. Next is the first round match for the U.S. Championship Tournament. Bobby Roode versus Baron of the Corbins. Bobby comes off the top. Baron catches him in a position for a chokeslam. Roode counters for the roll-up win. And we like Roode because he's glorious. Glorious. So next is another first round match for the U.S. Championship. Jinder Mahal versus Ty Dillinger. He has a promo Ty does where he says it's an 8-man tournament, but the only number that mattered is 10. Corey calls him a sociopath. Why does Corey call him a sociopath? Well, whatever. So Jinder Mahal wins with the Kalas. Yeah.
I was surprised that the Baron match was pretty decent.
I mean, he's okay. He's getting better.
Yeah, he is. He's improving. And him and Bobby, I think, have been in the ring enough with each other that, like, they can put together a pretty good match, yeah.
Let's talk about how fire that black and white robe was.
Okay. All of his robes. I think, I gotta say, the royal blue one's always my favorite, but I'll let us know who makes his robes.
That black and white, when he debuted this week, that thing was clean.
I mean, we need to find out who makes his robes. See if we can get a custom one.
Are they glorious?
They are glorious, most definitely.
It's just so fun to say. Backstage, Daisy's talking to Kevin and Sammy. Owens. I don't know if it was, you know, like an ad, but he just had that bottle of Corbel placed just up. But I thought, that can't be a coincidence. But he's shaking the bottle, and Daisy's like, what you doing? He says, don't worry. Gonna pop the bottle after I win my match. They said that it's the same bottle that Danny refused to accept last week. He reminds everybody, Kevin does, that the last time he fought AJ, a certain referee, a guy who likes to shuffle his feet and is also Vince's son, cost him the match. Kevin says that he had a guardian angel on his side tonight, and he tells Daisy that she was not invited to their celebration, nor is anyone in Chicago. Hype man that he is in the back going, yep, to everything Kevin says. Elsewhere, Renee's talking to All Lives Orton. He says he's been dealing with everyone's issues except his own. He was only concerned with winning the Royal Rumble. Shinsuke shows up and is like, that's a good idea. Let's rumble. Ooh! Oh, shit. That was funny. I love Shinsuke. Okay, final match of the night. Kevin versus Aja, also known as AJ. They trade punches. AJ gets the better of it, hits a strike combo, followed by a sliding forearm and a Pele kick. Owens counters with a springboard forearm into a gut buster, followed by a diving elbow drop for a near fall. AJ follows with a torture rack into a spinning slam for a 2 count. Kevin rolls to the outside. AJ hits Sammy with a slingshot crossbody. After Styles tosses Owens back into the ring, Sammy distracts AJ, and Kevin nails him with a super kick for a near fall. Shane walks down, tells the referee to toss Sammy from ringside, so he does. AJ applies a small package, but the referee is distracted by Shane and Sammy. As AJ grabs the referee's attention, Kevin supplies a schoolboy for the win. Ergo, it's Shane's fault
that AJ again. Shane's fault again.
Vince pops the bottle, douses himself with champagne. AJ's pissed. As he walks up the ramp, he stares down Shane. Shane apologizes. Owens and Sammy are celebrating, and that is how your SmackDown ends for the week.
Sami Zayn is one hell of a hype man.
He's a perfect hype man. He was built for this position, honestly.
He probably doesn't even know what a hype man is, but he's doing it to optimum perfection right now.
I really do like having them together. Like, Sammy still comes out dancing, but now the dance just feels like he's just being such a jackass. Like, you know? There's just so much arrogance in that dance. And it's nice to kind of see them back together after watching them, you know, break apart in NXT. So hopefully they keep them together and we don't do this whole you're going to hate each other again one day thing. But, I mean, if that's what they want to do, I'll be there for it.
Yeah. I thought this was a good, fun episode of SmackDown. New Day and these pancakes. This thing is getting ridiculous. Kofi throwing them out there like Frisbees, like the Genius back in the day.
No, Big E, like, went over to one of them girls in the front row and just was like, here, and just threw it, like, just dumped the whole box on her. And you could tell she wasn't one of those kids who was like, I want this to happen. She was just like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, poor girl. Poor, poor girl. I didn't expect the tie match to be so short. I don't know. Like, I didn't think the tie and gender match was just going to be that. Like, it was like 5 minutes. I was like, oh, Ty, you're just never going to, you know, get your place in this world, huh?
I was shocked to actually see Ty Dillinger.
That too. So. My assumption is Jinder's going to win. I feel like Jinder's going to win this because they're going to try to, like, build him back up to be champion. But I really want Bobby to win it, honestly.
Didi, any thoughts?
It would be glorious.
It would be glorious.
What's also glorious is keeping the podcast free. Hey. You can do that by going to www.cspn.us, scrolling down to where it says support the podcast, clicking on one of our many sponsors. You can click on amazon.com, do some shopping. You can click on Wink, get you some wine. You can click on Adam and Eve, spice it up in the bedroom. You can also click on Blue Apron. Yes, Blue Apron is now a part of the CSPN. You guys can kick you some fresh meals. But please, go to the website, click on any one of those sponsors, do your shopping, do some ordering. Audible, we still have sponsorship with them. Get you some, you know, audiobooks. But please support our sponsors, and please keep all the podcasts here on CSPN free each and every week. So we'll get into our final review. Of course, that's NXT. We start off hot this week as we have the Street Profits versus Sean Mercer and Riley Apex. Angelo Dawkins tags in, and the Street Profits do some double team work. The Street Profits work over Apex. They hit the pop-up Spinebuster, and then Montez Ford comes off with the picture-perfect frog splash, and the Street Profits get the win. Street Profits then have a post-match promo saying they arrived in 2017 and will conquer in 2018. They run down the tag division and say they are coming for the tag team titles. So it's always a party when the Street Profits show up. Basically, Halisa, because I know you'll get this, they've basically taken over what Enzo and Cass were when they were in NXT.
Yeah, and they've grown on me a lot. Like, at first I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. Because you know how Vince is with black men and stuff. I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. But no, they've really grown on me. I like them. And the fans are really behind them, too.
Montez Ford, how can you not be just attracted to that dude?
I just need a Kappa to teach him how to shoulder roll. That's all I need. Like, I just need him to go down, you know, to like Bethune-Cookman or something, talk to the Kappas, and they need to teach him how to stroll. And get his neck roll going and his shoulder roll going. And like, he'll be fine. That's all. That's all I need.
So we have Ember Moon versus Sonya Deville in an NXT women's title match. Ember Moon avoids a knee strike and then hits a springboard dropkick. Ember follows up with the corner forearm, and then Ember hits the eclipse, and she retains her NXT women's title. After the match, Kairi Sane arrives on the ramp, and she appears to want to challenge Ember Moon for her title. DeeDee's fave, Shayna Baszler, arrives and attacks Kairi Sane, locking in a rear naked choke and choking out Kairi Sane on the ramp. It appears that Baszler has gotten her revenge for the Mae Young Classic Finals. Really good continuity here. If you're going to, you know, introduce Shayna Baszler on the main roster, then it would be fantastic to have her, beat up Kairi Sane in the debut, since, you know, that's the last person that she faced. And we all remember that Kairi Sane beat her in the Mae Young Finals. So good booking, good storytelling.
I agree. I may not like Shayna, but it made sense. And I was like, okay, I'm okay with that.
Right.
And that gives her, what, 4 weeks to get ready for the Women's Royal Rumble?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with it.
I don't know how much involvement from NXT we're going to have in that. It'll be interesting to see who they do choose, if they do kind of dip into the NXT talent pool. You know, I don't know. They have somewhere around, what, like 15, 16 women currently active. 20 is not a bad number. You know,
so you think 20 is what they're going
to
do?
I would like it to be 20. I think 30 might be stretching it a little bit. And then you get some people that you may not know or don't, you know, no, aren't necessarily don't have a shot, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, 20, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think 20, and you sprinkle in, like, you know, a couple of NXT people, and then a couple of, you know, classic, you know, Royal Rumble type returns, and I think it'll be fine.
I think. Okay. Well, Google says that there are 11 on Raw and 11 on SmackDown.
Plus 22 women, right there.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I must say, because I think it was Val on Ladies Night last week who counted up, and she was like, it's 21 or 22 when you take out Charlotte and Alexa. So I'm pretty sure, like, Lita's going to come out. I wouldn't be surprised if Beth Phoenix makes an appearance.
So we're thinking probably 25 or 30.
Yeah. Like, I still think it's going to be 30. Like, I think that it's still going to be the same amount, because that's what you expect of the Rumble at this point. Like, you can't... I don't see them just being like, all right, so the same women you always see wrestle each other, they're all going to be in here, and we're not going to have any new entrants. That's true. I just don't see them doing that.
You're right. With 20, there's no room to shock you.
Yeah, so I'm going to assume, like, Lita's going to come out because, duh, like, she works for them. I would like to see Beth Phoenix, but you never know. I'd love to see Trish, but I think Trish is like, look.
I would love to see Trish.
I think Trish is like, look, I got kids. Like, I ain't coming out here with y'all. But you never know. I think it'll be, the Women's Royal Rumble match will be way more interesting as far as, like, and surprising as who we get compared to the men's. Because usually with the men's, you can kind of figure out who's getting called up or who's going to show up, because everyone kind of comes out for that.
Right. Right. So, yeah, definitely adding another layer to the NXT women's division, which looks like they're trying to kind of restock with Ember Moon as a champion. So they got to, you know, get her some challengers. So we'll see where this leads with the debut of Shayna Baszler. So Paul Ellering cuts a promo, and he's telling Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly that they're on borrowed time as NXT tag team champions. Ember Moon is then interviewed about the Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler altercation. Ember knows that she has a target on her back, but tells them to prove it in the ring. Then we get our main event of the evening. We get our four-way and number one contenders match for the NXT title, as we have Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, Lars Sullivan, Killian Dane, and Aleister Black competing in this fatal four-way. Aleister Black lays in kicks and knee strikes to Lars and Killian Dane. Aleister follows up with the moonsault press that takes Lars Sullivan down. Then Aleister Black hits the Black Mass to Lars, but Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly break things up. Then Adam Cole, baby, attacks, hitting Aleister with the last shot on the floor. Gargano takes out Adam Cole with a dive. Gargano then rolls Aleister Black back into the ring. Lars Sullivan misses a charge and hits the ring steps. Killian Dane cuts off Johnny Gargano, but Johnny Gargano hits a Hurricanrana into the... basically the steps and into Lars Sullivan. So now two big monsters are both out on the floor, and Johnny Gargano hits the slingshot DDT on Aleister Black, and Johnny Gargano gets the pin and becomes your new number one contender, and he will have a future match with the champion, Cien Almas. Johnny Wrestling. Johnny
Wrestling. So the thing...
It's fun. Okay.
I like the match a lot. The thing that caught me off guard was the fact that Aleister took the pin, because Aleister's never lost.
Right, but he was interfered with.
That's true, but I was just like, wait, Aleister takes the pin? And I was like, okay, if this means that Aleister and Adam Cole are going to feud, then I'm down for that. Like, I'm okay with that. Just because whoever wins, or whoever beats Cien Almas, which it's going to probably be Johnny Wrestling, they'll get to go up against one of those two guys. And then Johnny winning, I think it's just, it's time.
No, your fantasy booking is all wrong.
No, because that's totally what I want to happen is Tommaso Ciampa shows up. And
that's what's going to
ruin happen. His whole, like, I'm going to become champion thing. That's what I'm hoping for. I tried to count the months up to make sure I had enough months between when Tommaso got injured and when this is supposed to take place. And I think I have enough months, so he should be able to do this. But just in case I don't have enough months, Johnny can become champion and then get kicked in the mouth still. Either way, you know.
What would you feel would be the better scenario? Is that Johnny wins it and then Ciampa comes out, like, and lays him out, or just comes out and makes a challenge, like, right there after he wins it? Or Johnny is on the verge of winning it, and then Ciampa comes out and screws him from winning it. Which one would you prefer?
Well, because they've kind of already done that with the whole Selena Vega throwing the shirt at him and wearing the shirt. So I feel like they've already done the it's cost you the match thing with him indirectly using Ciampa. So I think that they're going to let Johnny become champion and then Ciampa come out.
Okay. And I agree with you. I think Adam Cole versus Aleister Black is going to be a fantastic feud. I'm actually looking forward to this Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish title run. They've got another title defense against Sanity coming up in 2 weeks. And then, of course, the Authors of Pain. And then, maybe the Street Profits in a few months, but we're a few months away from that. So, don't give them too much too fast. Let them kind of, build themselves up to be champions. But this was a good episode of NXT. That main event was really good. The Shayna Baszler attack on Kairi Sane, I really like that. Like I said, that was really good storytelling. They definitely, kept things connected from the Mae Young Classic to her debut on NXT. And every episode of NXT is better when the Street Profits are on it. So I still feel like after 3 years doing this show, people still sleep on NXT. I know it's a lot to ask to give one more hour on a Wednesday after you've already given up five, but NXT is like the easiest of all the episodes that WWE puts out to actually watch.
It goes by quick. It really does.
Probably the most consistent and usually has the best payoff to their stories.
And one thing that I've figured out, because I watched, all of the Four Horsemen stuff all the way up until basically everyone got caught up and we're just kind of sitting here with Bobby Roode as champion. And I stopped watching NXT as much because all the people that I like watching, Kevin, Finn, Shinsuke, everybody, they were all on the main roster. But I always made sure to watch a TakeOver show. And you can literally watch a TakeOver show, never have watched NXT at all. They can give you a full rundown of what the match is supposed to be, and it all makes sense. Like, you get why people are wrestling each other. You get why, someone lost or someone won or whatever. And so because of that, I started going back and watching it so that I would be more prepared for TakeOver shows. And like you said, it's consistent. It's always consistent. And then you never get tired of seeing people because they don't show you the same wrestlers every week, unless necessary. Like, Adam Cole and them are always on the show, but that's because that's their storyline. Like, either he's attacking someone or Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly are attacking someone. So that's a part of it. But
they still space it out where they may have a 2 week or a week gap where you don't see him. And like you're saying, like, there is one point where it was like, man, it's been like 3 weeks since I seen Velveteen Dream. And then all of a sudden, boom, he comes out and it's like, oh, it's so fresh and feels so new because it's not, you have to have it burned you out with him week after week.
Honestly, like, I think that's why I really started back watching, because I wanted to see Velveteen Dream. And I was just like, he's never on the show. And it's not that he's never on the show. It's just he's on there. He's not sporadically, but like every couple weeks, like you said. It's the that's the only way that, you know, Asuka can be champion for over 500 days and no one care. She was champion for 500 days. And I think we saw Asuka like once every 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time she wasn't wrestling unless it was a title match. It's they figured out how to make it work for her and NXT in a way that I don't think they figured out how to make it work for Brock anymore.
It's called Vince McMahon on one side. Everyone says Triple H on the other side.
That's true. Control. But yeah, I actually did enjoy this one. I liked last week's better, but I think that's just because the UK match was so good. But this week's episode was like a nice pickup from what we went through last week. I wish that they put the Bruiserweight and just the UK kids on more often, because those kids can really, really wrestle. But
I think that that's starting to be the move, since it doesn't look like they're actually going to give these kids their own show, that UK based show. So I think it looks like they're starting to incorporate them more into the NXT roster. I was a fear. I thought they were maybe going to get lumped into 205, but it seems like they've kind of dodged that bullet and they're going to get on NXT. And I think that's the best place for them.
Well, I think the UK belt should be the mid-card belt. Like, every show has a mid-card belt, but NXT. So I think the UK belt can be that belt. Especially with the Bruiserweight being champion. He's amazing. And I'm down to watch him and Tyler Bate fight forever. They've had 3 or 4 matches and every match has gotten better and better and better. And I'm even more like enthralled with him than I was the first time.
Yeah, Pete Dunne is he's a very good wrestler, along with Tyler Bate, and they're so young to be able to put on these great 5-star matches. So
under the age of 25, like, what?
Right. So again, if you guys have the network, you pay for it every week, you guys aren't religious watchers of NXT, get on it. I think that the episode that came on USA, I think, opened up a lot of people's eyes to it. Wish it could have came on at 8 and not at 7, where, you know, it could have had that prime time spot. But nonetheless, you know, they did like over 800,000 viewers at that 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock time slot. So, you know, hopefully that, you know, got some more people to subscribe, or at least start to, you know, think about watching it more often on the network. So, you know, you guys can know what I've known for 3 years now.
Right. And they booked that show so well, too.
Yeah.
Like, making Aleister and Adam Cole the main event was brilliant. Shout out to Triple H for knowing what he's doing.
So at this point, we'll open it up to our guests for her shout outs and thank yous. Miss Elisa.
I want to say thank you to you guys. I think this is like my 3rd or 4th time on the show, and I love the WrestleCast. You made watching wrestling so much easier to do this year. I look forward to my Mondays and Tuesdays. Shout out to my best friend as always, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't watch wrestling. And shout out to my cousin Joe, because I've been telling him I'm tired. He's like, do it. He was excited that I was back on the show again. So thank you guys so much.
All right. Thank you as well. Ms. Didi Jonet, your shout outs and thank yous.
I'll give a shout out to everybody who's listened to the WrestleCast this year, everybody who's been on the WrestleCast this year. It's basically the same people. but we appreciate you. I appreciate you, because this is the fun that I do on my Wednesdays and or Thursday nights that you all can listen to on Friday. And then I listen to it too. And so, yeah, shout out to all of y'all. Shout out to Greg. Shout out to Sam. Shout out to the chairman. Shout out to Mel, because Mel still always gets shout outs. Shout out to big producer Don. And Happy New Year, everyone.
All right. Again, I'd like to reiterate Dee's sentiments. Thank you to everybody who's been a part of the WrestleCast this year as a guest host, or either somebody who's participated in the live tweet. I'm formulating the categories for the El Dandies. I'm going through all the notes, and I've got the list for guest of the year. So, yes, Quantum Central R, you will be having competition this year for your title. So be on the lookout through our on Twitter, through the official Twitter page, so you guys can start voting on this year's El Dandy Awards. I'd like to give a shout out to our other co-hosts, Sam and Greg. I'd like to give out to shout out to our co-host emeritus, Miss Jade to the Max, for keeping us updated with her live updates from SmackDown and Raw this past week. Give a shout out to all the Glow, everybody who's, like I said, participated in Rawcast, SmackDown Matters, NXT Cast, the pay-per-view hashtags. It's been a good year for wrestling this year, 2017. The WrestleCast hit their third year anniversary. We were able to bring in some of the old members this year of the WrestleCast, so that was a lot of fun. And just shout out to everybody in the community who's, you know, contributed in some shape, form, or fashion to make the WrestleCast what it is. And we look forward to a great 2018. It's going to start off with a bang, Wrestle Kingdom 12 on January 4th. So be on the lookout. You guys who are listeners to Cast and Strong Style, we will be having a detailed preview show dropping hopefully early next week. Hopefully it comes out on Monday, so you guys will have enough time to listen to the show and have a couple of days to digest it before the actual Wrestle Kingdom event on Thursday, January 4th. So for our special guest, Alisa, and my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Didi Jonet, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and this has been episode 165 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Now, I have been trying to call Dolph Ziggler all week, and unfortunately, he hasn't responded to my phone calls or my text messages. Due to his actions last week, it appears that Dolph Ziggler has voluntarily relinquished the United States Championship. But we do need to move forward. Shane and I are proud to have the history and the prestige of the United States Championship right here on SmackDown Live. And because of that, I am out here to announce a tournament to crown a new United States Champion.
That's great, Daniel. I'm so happy for the U.S. title, but wondering what you're gonna do about the tag team title situation.
Didn't you guys just get an opportunity at the tag team titles 2 weeks ago at Clash of Champions?
Okay, but was it fair, Daniel? Really? Was that fair? Think about it, okay?
First of all, we never got our one-on-one matchup with the Usos. Instead, you decided to add a couple other teams.
Yeah, why were they in the match?
Like the New Day.
Yeah, why were they in the match?
Like Aiden English and Rusev.
Yeah, why were they in the match?
Last week, we beat the Usos 1-2-3, proving that if it had been just us at Clash of Champions,
that you and every one of you would be looking at the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
Why do we deserve to face the Usos? Just listen and we will disclose. One, we beat the champs 2 weeks ago. Two, at Clash, did we lose? No. And three, you all know what day comes right after Christmas.
It's Boxing Day.
No, you fool! It's Rusev!
Wasting your time. If you want to find out who the number one contenders really should be, all you have to do is take the Kofi Kingston True False Challenge. Get the team of Chad Gable and old Jason Jordan. Sorry, Shelton. My fault.
He's tag champ now. Tag champ.
That's my bad. Get pinned at Clash of Champions. True!
theme of Rusev Day. Did they get pinned by your boys last week?
True.
See, Daniel, logic states that it's your boys, the New Day, who are the rightful number one contenders to the... Here, can you step up here with us? Okay. Okay. To the SmackDown
WWE
World.
Shut up!
Now, Daniel, tell me, what is it going to be? Can you make up your mind? Or you gotta ask your mommy, Shane McMahon.
I think I can make this decision on my own. We are going to have a triple threat match where the winners will face the Usos for the tag team championships. And that match happens right now! Get a referee!